Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we have just opened your word to read it, and we know that to have understanding, it needs the work of your Spirit operating on our hearts and minds. For it's through your Spirit that the word of God was written, and it's only through your Spirit that understanding can be gained. So we pray, will you open our minds to understand, and also may you help us to be those who apply the things that we learn. May you guide and direct all our thoughts now. Help us to focus on you, and will you be pleased to guide the words of my mouth that they may honour you. For we pray this in the name of our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's read that final section that Josh read for us as a text for this evening's message, starting at verse 20 of chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So the message I'm bringing to you this evening was originally penned by the Reverend John Haviland, and it's part of a series that he's been going through in regard to the truths of the Heidelberg Catechism. So this evening we'll be focusing, as I said, in the truths that are summarised for us in the Lord's Day 22. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some of the congregations in the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia have an ageing membership with many people in their 70s, 80s and even 90s. Some of you in this church fall into these categories. There are elderly people who enjoy very good health and strength, while others struggle with weakness and frailties that go along with old age. Of course, you don't have to be old to be troubled with ill health or pain or some disability. Many of us younger ones struggle with physical ailments of some sort. We who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ also believe in his return and in the resurrection of the body. Our faith in Jesus gives us comfort and strength in times of ill health and old age and trial. Especially in these times, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth and a new body. This is the subject of our verses this evening. Already in earlier verses, Paul has pointed us to Christ's return and the resurrection. Here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, he described how he wanted to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And in verse 14, he resolved to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Sadly, many around us have no interest in heaven. They live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame, as we read in verses 18 to 19. Paul contrasts this earthbound perspective with the heavenly focus of those who believe. He wrote in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven." We know that Jesus is in heaven now, preparing a place for us. And we know that we are already citizens of heaven. That is where we belong, and that is where we are going. Citizenship is an important matter for most of us. We retain our citizenship with a country because that is where we were born, or we have a long history, or a lot of family, or a close connection, or we plan to settle there one day. Being a citizen was very important to the people living in Philippi. The city was a Roman colony and a military outpost. Most of the people living there were ex-Roman soldiers and their families. These soldiers had served in the army for 21 years and had been rewarded with full Roman citizenship. That meant that Philippi was a replica of Rome in dress, language, morals, and its justice system. The citizens of the city identified themselves as Roman citizens, and they were proud of that. Paul wanted to remind the Christians living there that their citizenship was in heaven. They needed to identify themselves not with Caesar and Rome, but with Jesus and heaven. So too for us. Jesus is in heaven, and we are citizens of heaven. So we are looking forward, looking ahead. And this brings us to the first matter that we want to consider in these verses, which is our future expectation. And there are two events that we're expecting in these future expectations. And our first subpoint is this. The first is the return of our Lord, described in verse 20, where it says, "And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, that is, from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus had told his disciples that he was going away to prepare a place for them, but he promised them, "I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." And we read that in John 14, verse 3. Immediately after Jesus had ascended into heaven, angels appeared next to the disciples and assured them, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven," as we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He will come as our Saviour. He was born into this world to suffer and die. He is our Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, who died for his people, who laid down his life for his friends, he is coming back. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave Jesus his full title, emphasizing his greatness and his glory, his majesty, his power, and his position of power. The Romans living in Philippi acknowledged Caesar as Lord. Paul emphasized that Jesus is Lord, and you can't have two lords. He is the King of Kings, and one day he will return and be acknowledged as the Lord and as the King. So, as we look forward to his return, we can also expect the transformation of our bodies. And this is our second sub-point. Paul describes our body as lowly in verse 21. We are tempted in our bodies, tempted to lust and laziness, to misuse of the good things of creation in gluttony and drunkenness and immorality. We are susceptible to pain and ill health. Some of us are sick. Some of us have needed surgery. Some struggle with chronic back pain. As we get older, our bodies deteriorate and wear out. We lose our hearing, our sight, and our memory. We decline in strength and mobility. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? These bodies of ours are earthly and perishable, and one day we will die. Paul expressed our frustration with all this in Romans when he wrote, "We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies," in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. One day these lowly bodies of ours will be transformed, changed, refashioned, remade. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote, "For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed," in verse 52. The dead in Christ will be raised first with their new resurrected bodies from wherever they died or were buried. Their new bodies will be rejoined with their souls, that they will be whole and complete. Then the believers who are still living, when Jesus returns, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Their bodies will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, as the Apostle Paul outlines in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Then these lowly bodies of ours will be like his glorious body. We will have a body like Jesus after he was raised from the dead. Listen to these verses from the New Testament that declare this. And we read from, and I cite this from 1 Corinthians 15, 49. "Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." In Romans 8, 29 we read, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." And another verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." It is difficult to describe exactly what this means. There is a lot we don't know about our new bodies to be. We know that they will be similar to what we have now, but also different. Our new bodies will be physical, like the resurrected body of our Lord, but also spiritual. We will not grow old and die. There will be no more pain or death, as we read in Revelation 21 verse 4. Jesus will do all this by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. Jesus is the head over all things. He is seated at God's right hand. He has a position of supreme power and rule. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has the power to raise himself from the dead, and he will raise our bodies by that same power. We are looking forward to these great events. Christ's return and the transformation of our bodies. Our third sub-point, is we eagerly await our Saviour from heaven. This word is used a number of times in the New Testament, that is, eagerly await. And every time but one, it is used in regard to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to a persistent expectation. We are concentrating on the second coming of our Lord. Paul knew that the Christians in Corinth were eagerly awaiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, as he states in 1 Corinthians 1:7. Even the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, as Paul says in Romans 8:19. We are looking forward to receiving our new bodies, but even more than that, we look forward to meeting Jesus himself, our Saviour. There will be much joy and to enjoy in heaven, but seeing Jesus and being with him will be the best part by far. Oh, to actually see him as he is, as John exclaims in 1 John 3, verse 2. We long for the day when we'll be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal will be swallowed up in life. We will receive our new bodies. This expectation helps us to persevere in times of sickness and in pain. It gives us hope when we are dying because we are looking forward to what is to come. Often we don't look forward to this as we ought to, especially those who are young. There is so much to do, places to go, friends to see, children to raise, a person to marry. We have a house to renovate, holidays to take, a degree to finish, etc. All these things are good in themselves, but we need to be careful that we are not so taken up with life on this earth that we forget about heaven. All the things of this world are temporary and passing. We cannot take our house or our furniture to heaven, nor can we take our cars or boats or our holiday homes. We need to keep in mind that we are pilgrims on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Don't carry too much baggage. Don't get too weighed down. Don't get too attached to this life, because there is a better world coming. Let's keep looking forward. Heaven is our home, our goal, our destination. So that concludes the first main point, namely, our future expectation. We look forward to his return, and we also expect the transformation of our bodies, and we eagerly await the Lord's return. This brings us to our second and more briefly, our next point, entitled Our Present Obligation. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul went on to write, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." The New International Version and the English Standard Version are right to connect this verse with the second half of chapter 3, because it follows as an application. We are citizens of heaven, and that is where we are going, but we are not there yet. In the meantime, we need to stand firm. This ties in with the question 57 of the Catechism. How does the resurrection of the dead comfort you? The word comfort here has a sense of fortify. How does this truth strengthen you? While they were waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of their bodies, the believers needed to stand firm. This is a good picture for the Christians in Philippi. It described a soldier holding his ground as the enemy came bearing down on him. He needed to stand strong, solid as a rock, unmoving and unflinching. We need to do this ourselves. Today too, many live as enemies of the cross, as we read in verse 18. The Church of the Lord Jesus is under attack in our society, not yet so much by direct persecution, but by paganism, relativism, secularism and materialism. And then there are, as we have seen, the troubles and trials that come our own way in our own bodies, through sickness and surgery, through old age and declining health. Under the weight of these pressures, you may be tempted to become discouraged and to give up. You may be inclined to become depressed and weary of doing good. In the face of these temptations and trials, we need to hear the exhortation of the Apostle Paul. Stand firm. Hold your ground. Keep on going. Don't give up. Remember that we are standing firm in the Lord. We don't stand firm in our own strength because we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. We don't rely on our own power because there is very little we can do against the forces of evil. Rather, we are strong in the strength that God provides. In chapter 4, verse 13, Paul wrote, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." We can say that too. We can stand firm in the Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven. We must remember and rejoice in that. We are eagerly waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the resurrection of the body. This expectation and hope gives us courage, comfort, and strength. So, stand firm in the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful comfort of the Scriptures in regard to the future, and even for those who have died in the Lord in the past. They are not lost at all, but they are safe in your arms, no longer suffering pain, no longer having tears of sorrow, no longer to die again. But your people are safe with you, and we know that for all those who are living on this earth even now who belong to you, they have a wonderful future to look forward to. And when we're talking about something that we hope for, it's something that is not a feeling, it is something that is sure, something that we can depend upon, that we can rely upon. And we know this because your word says so, and also because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as being the first fruits of all who will rise from the dead, who will receive resurrection bodies, never to die again. So help us not to become too attached to this world. Help us not to be attached to the things of this world, the glories of this world, the things that can so easily take away from the things that we should be doing before you. Help us to be building treasure in heaven and not on this earth. Help us to stand firm against the attacks of the evil one, but also to stand firm against the pressures of this world which will try and suck us in to those things that are not beneficial for us, that will not honour your name and will not help promote your kingdom. Thank you that you are a God who sustains his people. Thank you that you are a God who loves his people so much that you sent your Son to die for them, and that you have sent a deposit in the Holy Spirit to be with each one of your people. May the Lord Jesus Christ come soon, we pray. Amen.